Good morning. It is Sunday, February 4th, 2018. And I am Pastor Mark Dilley of West Valley Grace Fellowship in Sun City West, Arizona. I pray the message this morning will be used to strengthen you in your faith and encourage you in your walk with our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please open your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 10 through 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning with grateful hearts, filled with awe, gratitude, and deep appreciation for the riches of your grace and for the great salvation that you have illumined our hearts to, that we, by faith in Christ and him alone, have received the gift of eternal life. And so we praise you and thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our sins, that he who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that by faith in him, we would receive the gift of eternal life. And so, Lord, we bow before you and acknowledge you as our sovereign God, our Redeemer, and our Heavenly Father, who one day will gather all of us to be with you forever. And we give you all the praise and the thanks through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And then, Heavenly Father, we pray for John and Kathleen's daughter as she faces this serious surgery. We pray, Lord, you'll give the surgeons, the specialists, all those involved, skill and wisdom and insight. And we thank you for giving us these wonderful technologies and wonderful knowledge about the human body. And so we simply commit all of this to the keeping of your grace. Strengthen John and Kathleen that they would be prepared to encourage and demonstrate the marvelous love of Christ, and we thank you for that. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin just with a quick review with 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. That's where we spoke on last week, where it says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so Paul is expressing here that he does everything for the sake of those who will yet believe the gospel. That's who the elect are here. That they too might believe what he says and receive eternal life with eternal glory. And then in verse 11, here's a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. And that's a conditional statement, but it's not in any way expressing any doubt about that fact. That Timothy, Paul believed that Timothy died with Christ because Paul calls him his son in the faith. Every believer in Jesus Christ has died with Christ. Paul says, for I am crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And so this is really why I am so focused on doctrine. Because I believe it's through right doctrine, doctrine rightly divided from the word of truth, that we are confirmed and convinced and established. And I don't know if criticized might be too strong a word, but it has been suggested that I should give more application in my sermons. And I personally don't believe that it's up to me to give the application for your life. I believe that's the role of the Spirit of God as he takes the Word of God and applies it directly to you for his purpose and his glory for your life. Now, there are certain aspects of the Word of God that I can say, much like Paul's going to say in this, or has said in this passage, that I can say for all of us that it's true, that we should be doing this or that. But as far as application, personally and individually, that's really between you and the Spirit of God who dwells in you, I believe. And so Paul says, I endure everything for the elect's sake so that they too may obtain the salvation in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. And since we, who are the saved elect, have trusted Christ, we have died with him, and we can have the full assurance of our future life with him. We are saved, sealed, and secured for eternity in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to really emphasize that because now we're going to enter into a little passage here that has brought doubt to a lot of people's faith. They wonder if, will I endure to the end? Because there are places in the Gospels and everything where people say, you have to endure to the end. And people have expressed, will I take the mark of the Antichrist? Will I take the mark 666 or whatever that mark's going to be? There are people concerned about that. Or will I disown him? We all sort of hypothesize or think, boy, if I had a gun to my head or they were going to kill my children. I mean, I've heard all kinds of these scenarios about would I deny Christ or something like that. And I want to say today that here in this passage, beginning with verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. In Paul's day, as he was taking this gospel of the grace of God, this totally new revelation, primarily to a group of people who were not even interested in the true God in any way and were virtually totally ignorant of Israel's God and Israel's religion. And so as he would come and speak, people would believe, and yet many others would be there that didn't believe. And so here I think Paul is using this conditional idea not to suggest for a second that a believer, one of the elect, could ever not endure. But what he's saying is, if you're one that doesn't endure, then you won't reign with Christ. But if you do endure, you will reign. And all believers in Jesus Christ who have believed the gospel of salvation in the gospel of the grace of God today will endure. I can guarantee that from the Word of God. So if you have any doubts whatsoever, will I be strong enough on that day? If it depended up on you and you alone, you would never be strong enough. But God promises you His strength. And that's what Paul is going to confirm throughout the whole gospel of the grace of God, that it is God who does it, not us. And you died. As far as God's concerned, you are dead in all that you were in Adam. And you are now brought into the body of Christ, who has become your life. So that the life that you live today, you live by the faith of the Son of God. And so you will endure. To endure means to preserve, be preserved, or to make it through. It also, under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you don't doubt at times or anything like whatsoever. But it will be not up to you, but it will be up to Christ to see that you endure. And in fact, only the elect, only the body of Christ can and will endure. Therefore, it is guaranteed that we will also reign with Him. Paul talks about the fact that we will judge the world. We will judge angels. We will reign with Christ. Now, there's a lot of confusion because a lot of people believe that we will reign with Him here on earth. And Paul doesn't ever suggest that any place in his writings. We will reign with Him in the celestial realm, I believe. And so there will be people, Israel will reign with Christ here on earth, and the 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and Israel will reign under Christ over the Gentile nations and different things like that. But that's not what we're looking forward to. And it is in this 2 Timothy that Paul's going to tell, we read it here, I don't like the wording of it here, but to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's what becomes so critically important when one studies the Bible, is to see the difference between the special revelation that was hidden and revealed to Paul and how it's different and distinct from all the revelation that God gave prior to Paul. And so he goes on to say in verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will disown us. Well, Paul's message is so clear that Jesus Christ will never disown His chosen people, the body of Christ. We're called that, a peculiar people. We are members of the body of Christ. And we'll cover a lot of verses here in a minute, taking care of all that. So when Christ talks about denying Him or disowning Him, I do not believe that any elect person, any member of the body of Christ, will ever disown or deny Christ. It doesn't depend upon you. Christ will take care of that for you. The security of the believer does not depend on one's own devotion or faithfulness. It does not depend on their strength or their willpower. It is entirely dependent on the faithfulness of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the new revelation of the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was entrusted to Paul, there were naturally many professors and other interested listeners attending the fellowships where he spoke. Many of those who attended had not believed the truth of the gospel and therefore were void of saving faith. These religious unbelievers are the ones who will not endure, who will not persevere, and will not reign with Christ. I am sad to say, and this is just, again, an opinion of mine, but I sincerely believe, and a lot of people are offended by this, but I sincerely believe that a large, large number of religious church-attending people today throughout the world will not endure and not reign with Christ. They are religious, they are sincere, but they're not part of the body of Christ. And it becomes so apparent when you talk to people and ask them, why do you think you'll go to heaven? And just, I encourage you to do that with people and see if they talk about how Jesus Christ died for their sins, how they know that they were a sinner and undeserving, but Jesus died for them and they trust Him and Him alone. That is the rarity when you talk to people about that. And so, these are the ones who will disown or deny Christ and will be not denied by Him. But for those who have believed the gospel of salvation and have trusted in Christ who died for their sins, those can have the full assurance of their faith and they can have the confidence that God will do what He declares and promises on the believer's behalf. And so the first point I'd like to really emphasize today is God is faithful, He is able, and He will do it. And therefore, you will endure if you've trusted Christ. You will not endure if you have not trusted Christ. If you've trusted Christ, you will not disown Him. There is a big discussion about could Christ have ever sinned? And people believe, no, He couldn't because He was God. But yet He was real, truly man too. And so from that aspect, He was possibly in jeopardy. But because of His faithfulness, because of His faith, He didn't sin regardless. Whether He could have or not isn't really addressed in the Scriptures, but we know He did not sin. He who had no sin was made sin for us. But now we too have been brought into this family. So we've got several verses here. I'd like you, they're on the handouts, if you have a handout, or you can look in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Now some of these on your handouts for space conservation, they're condensed and you won't have everything I read in every one of these. And so in 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, it says, He will keep you strong, how long? To the end. It doesn't have anything to do with, will you be strong enough? He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Now, I've spoken on God is faithful many times in messages, and it's been the message at times, and I still speak on it because no matter how many times you hear it, that's irrelevant. Until you come to believe it, until you come to live your life with that confidence that you know God is faithful, you need to keep hearing it until you are convinced that it is true. And I can't do that again, and you can't do that. It's the Spirit of God that does it through hearing of the Word. And so God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13, talking about the Old Testament saints. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's the biggest danger we have today. Oh, I've got this under control now. I've arrived. I know everything I need to know. I can handle it from here out. And Lord, in fact, that's sort of what happened before I was saved. One night Melinda came home and said, I said, what'd you guys talk about tonight? And she said, oh, honey, we just prayed that you'd be interested. And she came over and gave me a big hug and everything. And I said, oh, don't pray for me. Pray for the guy down the street. I don't need your prayers. Well, you know, today we're often in that type of position yet. We think, oh, I'm pretty secure and I've got this all under, you know. And apart from Christ, we don't have anything. We never want to ever get independent from Christ. We want to be totally dependent upon Christ, knowing that if I am to endure, if I'm not to disown Him, it will be because of His power, not because of anything of my own. You know, you'll hear people preach on television or any place else, puffing up our egos, puffing up the flesh, telling us, get out there and be a warrior for God. Go out there and fight for God and everything else. And that's what Paul teaches that too. And we should be that. But it should be occurring through the power of the Spirit of God who lives in you and not yourself. And you should know that so you don't look out and like, well, I'm sort of a captain in this fight and you're only a private. Or you're not fighting much at all. You may not be in the group. It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with every individual who's a member of the body of Christ is guaranteed by God that you will have all the power you will ever need for His purpose and His glory. And you need to realize that that's where it comes from. And so verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, this has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with your sanctification and your walk with Christ. And so if you're struggling with some sin issue in your personal life, I know I've had that on and off with some issues now and then. And when I have that, I simply say, Lord, only You can deliver me. And I trust in You to do it. And He's promised He will. In His time, in His way, for His purpose, and for His glory. And so when I realize some deliverance from my sin, He gets all the glory. It's not like, well, I quit smoking, you should. Or I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do, or anything like that. That's all stuff with the flesh. That's why Paul says at one point in Colossians about why do you go through all this touch not, taste not, all that stuff, which is only satisfying to the flesh. It's not so much about the outward activities that we're involved in. It has to do with the real struggle that's inside us, where the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And we can't win that battle. Only the Lord can win that battle, and He has taken it on and guaranteed us He will do it. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Now remember, when I read these verses, this is the Word of God speaking. It's not a dillyism then. It's God saying it to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we just read up above in 1 Corinthians 1 that He will do that. You will be blameless on that day. And then verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. You know, if you're ever looking at yourself, I've done this many times, look at myself and judge me by what other people may be doing, or judge me by what I think I should be doing. When I first got saved, I thought God saved me because I had so much talent and skill, and He really needed somebody like me to keep people on track. And it didn't take me long to find out I couldn't even keep myself on track. But God's promised He's faithful and He will do it in His time. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 through 5. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. It's Christ's perseverance that we are to be directed into. That Christ will persevere. Christ is the one that will provide all that we need, who is our life right now as believers. And so God is faithful, He's able, and He will do it. And then let's look at the second point I'd like to make today. God has sealed us. And the us is the elect who have believed the gospel at this point. Now that us will change today and tomorrow and the next day. It will grow and grow until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And then I believe we will be caught off the earth. But right now God has sealed all the believers onto the day of redemption. You are secure in Christ. I've had people say that's a damnable heresy, to tell people that once saved, always saved, which is a derogatory expression for them. And they believe it's a heresy. And I think it comes, again, from the pride of life, the pride of the flesh, the pride of the mind, the pride of natural man. And it doesn't come from the Word of God, because the Word of God declares it over and over again in Paul's gospel for the church, the body of Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22. 1 Corinthians, I hope it's 1 Corinthians, does it start out, now it is God? Good. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And so that's why really filling yourself with doctrinal truth is so critical. When you know what the Bible says, and you know it's through the Apostle Paul's revelation from Christ, you can take it to the bank. You can have the full assurance of your faith. And we have the Spirit of God in us now, guaranteeing the future for us. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. And then Paul defines that more precisely. That word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now this is critical to me. There are so many people today, that, again, we've talked about this recently, there's more to the gospel than just the gospel of salvation. There's a lot of good news I'm talking about right now. The idea that we are secured for all eternity is good news. But we're only secure because we have believed the gospel of salvation. And that gospel is that Jesus Christ died on the cross, not for His own sin, for He had none, but He died on that cross for your sin. Now I can guarantee you that just about everybody I speak to, when I talk to them about, well, do you think you go to heaven and why? A lot of times I'll say to them, well, do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? And they'll say, yeah. But, and they have to add something else. Or they really don't rest that that's good enough. That the fact that every sin you have ever committed, every sin you're living in, every sin you will ever commit has been paid for by the blood of Christ, and we have forgiveness through His blood. We have the redemption that comes in Christ, and it's an accomplished fact. And your salvation is a closed deal. Once you have believed, you're brought into the body of Christ, you're sealed there for all eternity. And so here it says, having believed the gospel of your salvation, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So not only does the Holy Spirit seal you, He Himself is the seal. And He is living in every believer. And He is there until the redemption of the purchased possession. And so there's no way that that's ever going to change. It goes on to say, verse 14. I'll jump back to, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And then look at that last phrase again. To the praise of His glory. When you grow in the pure gospel of grace, when you grow in your understanding that God foreknew you before you were ever born, before the world was ever created, God knew you. And He called you, and He justified you, He predestinated you, He justified you, and He glorified you. It's all a done deal the moment you trust Christ for every believer. Not just certain ones, not just certain faithful ones. And therefore, you know, there's a view of the rapture that only the faithful will go in the first phase. Something like that. But those that aren't faithful have to endure the tribulation. There's no teaching like that in Paul's gospel whatsoever. That's man's wisdom again. If you're a member of the body of Christ, on the day of Christ, you will be blameless. Because God has guaranteed it. It's not because you've been good. It's not because you've been faithful or anything like that. It's because of God's grace and mercy. And that's the only reason. That's what magnifies the grace of God. And that's why we do, as this verse says, to the praise of His glory. Remember, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's His glory. How wonderful that is when you come to a place where you really come to an end of yourself. You see yourself as having died with Christ. And now raised up to walk in newness of life. He made you alive in Christ. He's guaranteeing you all of these things by His grace. So that when we can lie in our deathbed, we can lie there with these confidences ingrained in our spirit and in our mind that everything is okay. It is well with my soul. Let's look at another one here. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed unto, it says for in the King James or in the NIV, but unto, or it's actually into in most the times that the word is translated, unto the day of redemption. And then here's a rather long passage, but Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. Paul's just gotten finished with talking about those he called, he also just predestined, and those he predestined, he justified, and all that. And then he says, what shall we say to these things, or in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of people against us, but they don't amount to anything if God is for us. And Paul says that. God is for us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Not because of our merit or anything else, but graciously give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. I know that in the denomination that I grew up in, they didn't believe in justification by faith. They believe that you grow in your justification by your behavior. That's just not scriptural, according to the revelation given to Paul. God justified us. It's an aorist tense verb. It's a completed action already. And that's where we can have our confidence. I would be worried sick. I would hate to go to sleep thinking I might not wake up and might not be justified or might not have done enough or might not have done something else if it depended on me. And I lived a lot of my life that way before I came to Christ. But I know now every night when I go to bed, I fall off to sleep peacefully or peaceably, whatever word is correct, knowing that if I don't wake up, I'm going to wake up for sure in His presence. And that's far better. Far better. And so it's so wonderful to know that it's God who justifies. And then it asks this, who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ? And it almost sounds like Paul is pointing out here, how foolish to think that Jesus Christ is going to condemn those he died for. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, who is at the right hand of God, and who is also interceding for us. He's not going to judge us. He's not going to disown us. He's interceding for us right now at the right hand of God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, more than victors. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. So that covers everything but the Godhead. And so there is nothing in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. And that's the point I'm making here, is as far as we in the flesh, it's futile, it's worthless. A jar of clay, you drop it, it breaks, it falls apart. It's just really quite fragile in the long run. And that's what we have this treasure in, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And that's an important point. When people see believers in Christ today, even though most believers in Christ aren't even aware of it, they no longer see the old man that I once was. They now see Jesus Christ living in me. They now see Jesus Christ living in you. And so when they say, oh, you're really a nice person, if they've seen something that convinces them of that, now there are a lot of people who can do nice things, But for us as believers in Christ, when they see sacrificial love, when they see us do things, when they hear us say things, and they're somewhat impressed by it, it doesn't impress me. It gives me opportunity to thank God for what He's done in my life. And so it goes on to say, let me find it again. Might be revealed in our eye. Verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For we who are alive, who are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It's the life of Christ, His life, that is working in us. Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another man's servant or someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand. Now I can say this uncategorically. Every person here that is a member of Jesus Christ will stand. And why? Because God is able to make him stand. Let me just make sure. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And in 2 Corinthians 9:8, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The biggest struggle we have in the Christian life, I think, in sanctification, is what we think we should be. What we think we should be doing, rather than simply submitting our lives, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, day by day, moment by moment, and trusting in God to do what He's promised He will do. And so then we don't have to put a time frame on it. We don't have to put a criticism on it or anything. We simply walk by faith and not by sight. And then Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. For eternity, God will be showing us the riches of His grace, and we will be giving Him all the praise and all the glory forever. And then, we believers have no power in ourselves to endure. We will endure because of His power, His purpose, His grace. And in verse 13, if we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. It is the unbeliever who is faithless. Every believer in Jesus Christ has been gifted with the faith of Christ. It is the unbeliever who does not believe. His faithfulness, the faithfulness of Christ, the faithfulness of God the Father, does not depend upon who believes or who doesn't. And in spite of all who do not believe, it does not impact God in any way. He is faithful always. Now the Word of God reveals some pretty devastating things that people don't really want to embrace or own. One of them is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Where it says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of his thoughts of his hearts was only evil all the time. I find no place in Scripture where that truth has ever been rescinded or changed in any way. In fact, in Paul's letters, it's only reasserted. When we look in Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul writes, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, they have become together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." And so you'll hear a lot of, in fact, it's sort of a standard phrase now, "Oh, somebody seeking," or "somebody seeking God." It just doesn't line up the scripture. The way people are saved today is that somebody comes with the gospel of salvation, or they read it someplace. Now, they may sense they are seeking, but it's really the Spirit of God drawing them and revealing to them the truth of God's Word. And at some point, the Spirit of God convinces them of the veracity of what they hear or what they read, and they believe, and they're saved. But no one seeks God, not one. It goes on to say, "All have turned away, they have become together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." And I encourage you to read Romans chapter 7, where Paul goes through this struggle in his own life, even as a believer. He still realizes that his nature is such and his flesh is such that it fights with the Spirit of God continually. And he comes to the place, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he thanks God that it's through Christ Jesus. So the gospel of the grace of God reveals this: all have sinned and fall short. This is Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." That's what the gospel of the grace of God says. Even though every thought of our heart was, every thought of our imagination was evil continually, God breaks through that with His Word. And now as He brings the truth to us, we believe the gospel, and we are justified freely by His grace. Not because we have turned from our sin, not because we have prayed a prayer or anything else. He justifies us for no cause in ourselves. As I mentioned here, that word "freely" there is the same word that's translated "without a cause" when they talk about why they hated Christ. They hated Him without a cause. If we translated it always with the same word, they would have said they hated Him freely. That doesn't make any sense, but it's the same word. They hated Christ without a cause, and God has justified us without a cause, simply by His grace. And then Romans 8, 1 and 2, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death." And then Romans 8, 37 through 39. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so I pray that as you read these verses, even though I'm not quite positive at all about Paul's reason in his own thinking, why he said, "If we endure, we will reign," there's a lot of ideas about why he said it, but I can guarantee you that you, if you're a believer in Christ, if you are a member of the body of Christ, you will endure, you will not disown Him, and you will be faithful in Christ. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we again bow before You, We bow before your word. And even if there are things that we wrestle with and struggle with, we depend upon your Spirit to be our teacher, to impress upon our hearts and convince us of the truth that we might be faithful stewards, that we might be workmen who needed not to be ashamed. And so we thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your word, and we now trust in you to fulfill what you've declared. And we give you all the praise and the glory forever and ever. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.